All right, well, welcome to our discussion of the meaning of death. As we'll see in a moment, Parshat Chukat of this week is related to the notion of death. And we want to see if through Chukat and perhaps through general research, can we determine what is the Jewish philosophy of death? What is the meaning of death from a Jewish perspective? First, I don't expect to exhaust the topic. Let's look at a few different sources about it. First, let's see what it has to do with Chukat. So the Rav Soloveitchik said that death is the beginning of Chukat. You see, the last week's parsha was in year two, the Korach rebellion. Then some say that the Korach rebellion was in response to the spies' rebellion, because the Nisim, the leaders, were killed. So the leaders rebelled. Chukat, this week's parsha, Aaron and Miriam die. They died presumably in the 40th year. So there's a 38-year gap. How does the Torah fill in the 38-year gap? Comes to our Soloveitchik and notices it's filled in with the paraduma, the laws of death. What happens if someone dies? What happens if you want to come back to the temple? What happens if someone dies in a tent, et cetera, et cetera? So it's all about death, because for 38 years, you know what happened? Jews died. So firstly, it's often taken to mean that just like the paraduma, the red heifer laws are a mystery, so is death. Death is a mystery. So that's not going to help us to understand death. Death is a mystery. That's theory number one. But we'll see later that there's another implication from this parsha as well. Now, Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that all other impurities, one simply goes to the mikveh. If you touch a dead rat, you go to the mikveh. Sometimes you have to wait till the sun sets, and then you're good. You don't have to wait 7 days. But the encounter with death requires a fuller transformation. If you have an encounter with death, you can't come right back to the temple. Temple's a place of life. It's one of my rabbis said, temple's a place of life. And if you had contact with the dead, you don't belong there. Take 7 days to re-enter the community. Who else says 7 days? Well, in a leprosy, you have to have a re-transformation of your personality. The leper has to have a whole ceremony, sprinkling, in order to come back. The miluim, if you want to become a high priest, you want to become the priest, you have to have 7 days of inauguration of your new position. If you want to, similarly, if you want to come back in the community after, you want to approach God after your encounter with death, you have to have a transformative 7 day period where you're sprinkled by the high priest or the regular priest. And you, through this, you have a transformation similar to a leper who has to be re-socialized into the community, similar to the priests who are inaugurating their position, 7 day ceremony. So we also see through the parsha that there's some kind of transformation that can take place with an encounter with death. Now, there are two different things. One is, what's the effect of death on those around who come in contact with death? And then what's the effect of death on the person who dies? So two different topics, we'll talk about them in one fell swoop tonight's discussion. The Medrash says, it's found in the Gemara also, that Rav Meir was a sofer. He was a scribe, and he had a very strange Torah. And his Torah, it said, God saw the world, and it was tov ma'od, tov mavet, and it was good death. The meaning of very good in Hebrew, tov ma'od, is actually death is good. There's something good about death. He says, "Aval bishamav es rabbi ne'ab ne'adam." Most people think that death is bad. He says, "Tovu lo." It's really good for the world. Why? Shemalei nivar maves lo yolam yochalam. If not for death, the world couldn't stand. Now you could take that in terms of population control, that there'd be too many people. Although you know you could always figure out a way to feed everybody. Or v'lo ayu abrias chozel muta. Nobody would go back to being good. They would be bad forever, and they say, "Oh, in 1,000 years I'll be good. When I get, I'll repent later." So this way, they know they're going to die. They have to repent. It's mitvakeach b'emes abrias. It rebukes people. It says, "Hey, watch out! You think you're playing around? A few years you'll be dead. You better get your life in order." So one way of rebuking people is to say, "Look, tomorrow, where are you going?" So as we know, it says in Pirkei Avos, you should know, where are you going? You're going to go to the grave one day. So it's a sobering fact So death helps us sober up, helps us think about things, maybe population control. That's our first theory. But Rameir asserts that death is good. Is it good for the person who dies? Well, here we're saying what? It's good for the person before he dies. So the person who dies, it's good for him before he dies because hopefully he thinks about it. And the fact that everybody dies makes everyone think about it, hopefully. As it says in Ecclesiastes Kohelet, chapter 7, Tov Shem Yishem En Tov, Yom Avim, Yom Vado. A good name is better than fine oil. It's more expensive, more worthy. And the day of death is better, more expensive, better than the day of birth. So I have to explain that in a moment. And he says it's better to go to the house of mourning than go into a house of festivity, let's say for a birth or a wedding, because it's the end of man, end of a human being. And the living will take it to heart. So death is good for those who survive because it makes them take it to heart. But why is it better than the day of death, the day of birth? So he says, look, I'll tell you, I'll prove it to you. When Miriam was born, no one knew what she was. A girl was born, okay. Very nice, Shkreel Mazdo. But when she died, the well ceased to exist. Someone with Aaron, the pillar of crown, Moses with the manna. When Miriam was born, the world was the same. It didn't change anything. But when Miriam died, there was no more water. Moses died, there was no more man. Aaron died, there was no more cloud, as we all found in our parsha this week. So that's why the day of death is better, because on the day of death, we know the significance of the person. As Ibn Ezra puts it better. On the day of birth, nobody knows if you're going to be good or maybe you'll be bad. They say, oh, mazel tov, you have a baby. Maybe he's going to be the next dictator. Who needs him? But when he dies, his name is well known. Everybody knows he's a good guy. Hopefully most people are good people. So that's what he says. So it's better, the day of death is better because we know who you are. You can celebrate who you were. Death is good because it defines what you were. You stop there. You say, everyone thinks about a person. I haven't been to too many funerals where people say, this guy was a scoundrel. Usually, by the time you get to death, people say, oh, you know what? If you look back, he was a pretty good guy. Yeah, you could point to this, that wasn't so good. But basically, he was so good. So death kind of defines the person in a good way, their name, their reputation. Now, he mentioned something else. It could be that it means the following. He says, the day of death is better because you won't have so much toil and trouble. The day of death, you know, the day you're born, then you have to work for the rest of your life until you finally collect Social Security. But there you die, you don't have to worry about it anymore. So he says, he doesn't think that that's what it means, but he says it's possible that that's what it means. But that's sort of a cynical view in sync with the notion of Ecclesiastes and Kohelet, we're very cynical. But on the more positive note, he says, people often put it like this, what do we celebrate? Birthdays or yahrzeits? Right? We don't care when Abraham Lincoln's birthday was. If it was a Jewish holiday, we would celebrate his yahrzeit, like Elvis. Elvis is a Yiddish guy. So we always commemorate his yahrzeit. Some people celebrate his birthday, but yahrzeit is more important. Why? Because in the yahrzeit, we reflect on who Elvis was. But if you're an Elvis fan. But on his birthday, we don't know what he's going to be. So there's no point. So the yahrzeit, therefore in Judaism, is much more significant than the birthday because the birthday celebrates an unknown. Some people use the metaphor of the ship coming in and the ship going out. So the ship goes out, have a good trip. We don't know what it'll be. Maybe it'll drown. The ship comes home and the Titanic comes home. Oh, you have a big celebration. Everybody's home. That's the way it should be. I don't know. It could be that people actually do it the other way around. But in theory, this makes more sense. That when the ship comes home, so when someone made it through life and they weren't such a bad guy, such a bad gal. And they made it through 50, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. And they're not so bad. So we can celebrate and say the ship came home and it's in pretty good shape. Rabbi Eliezer says the famous statement that you know, we should honor people and don't get too mad. And then his third statement is, Shuv yom echad lifnei mitatach. Should always come back, repent one day before you die. Of course, so you could ask him, we don't even know when we're going to die. That's the point. You have to repent every day. That's why in Anshe, we confess every day. We do the confessionals every day. Now we're diving with Baron Hirsch. It's more challenging, but you can say, Ashamnu. you can say we have sinned. You say that every day, Slachnu Avinu. We confess every day. Therefore, you can say you repented a day before you died. That means every day you have to live as if it's your last, because you never know when's the last day. So we always have to repent at all times. As it said, at every moment, your clothes should be clean.
Your clothes should be clean. Is that a bad word?
Meaning that you should have, you know, you should be clean. Meaning you should not have any sins. You're trying to clean, you know, if you have sins, cleanse them off, because you never know it, when you might need to go somewhere important. Then in terms of philosophy of Judaism, it's very important to mention the Mishnah, Durki Avos, where he says, better 1 hour of tshuva, maisim tovim, b'olam hazeh. This world is good for tshuva and maisim tovim, repenting, doing good deeds. Better than the next world. The next world, you can't repent. You're already stuck wherever you are in your level. And in the next world, you can't do maisim tovim, you can't do mitzvahs, because there's no choice. In the next world, everything is very easy to do good. But one moment of koras ruach, of spiritual enjoyment in the next world, is better than this whole world. He said, oh, I went to this place and I went to Bermuda and I did this. It's terrific. He said, that's nothing. Compared to the spiritual enjoyment in the world to come, nothing can compare in this world. So if you ask, what is death? Death, if we merit, if we're lucky to get into the next world, then what is death? Death is pleasantness and korat ruach. It could also be punishment and all that, but hopefully that's what it could be. So that's what death represents. It's very pleasant, but there's no mitzvahs. So there's a trade-off. You can't be a tzaddik in the world to come. You can be locked in wherever you were when you're during life, but you can't really change too much. You can get atonement in the world to come, but you can't grow that much in the world to come. Then we ask the following: what is the Jewish philosophy toward death? Is death like a necessary part of life? You know, in order to keep people in line, you got to whip them into shape, kill them off every now and then, so they'll remember they have to repent. Where we say, no, it's not inevitable. It doesn't have to be part of it, right? So what do we know about the Bible, right? Starts off by saying that theoretically there wouldn't be any death, because starts off by saying that without the sin of Adam and Eve, there wouldn't have been death. So it looks like it's not inevitable. And also, what does it accomplish? What does the death accomplish? So number one, we're reminded of the Gemara, here's Gemara Shuas, Gemara Yuma, that talks in the last chapter in Yuma, we'll be learning shortly in Daf Yomi, which says that death can be part of the atonement. You have Yom Kippur, you have Tshuva, you have good deeds, and paying back your debts to society. And then also you have what? Death. Death is part of the atonement process. What is death? Part of the atonement process. However, Rabbi Yossi says, the truth is the Jews got the Torah so they wouldn't have death. As we say in the Psalm of Thursday, he says, originally we're supposed to be like gods, angels, and we would be the upper crust of the world and we wouldn't die. But we ruined our deeds. And now, unfortunately, now we have to die. So he says, what do you mean? Doesn't the Torah imply in a number of places that there would be death? He says, no. God is going to help us that there wouldn't be any death. So in theory, according to Rabbi Yossi's theory, in theory, there would be no death. Rambam takes a very different view. He says, even in the world to come, when the revival of the dead takes place, all the righteous people will come back to life, then they'll die later, after about 120 years, 500 years, whatever it is, but they will die. So the Rambam views death as, you know, very much part of any kind of life. But there is a view that there was not supposed to be death. But then we did mention that it serves the purpose of atoning for the one who died. There is a verse in Isaiah that says, "Bilam havas hanetzach machash elokim dimah melkopanim," that one day he will destroy death forever. So there are visions of the notion that one day death will be defeated completely. Again, does that mean completely, or is it a metaphor? It means people won't die young. You know, maybe according to Rambam, you have to interpret that they wouldn't die young; but they will die anyway. According to some, no, one day death will be defeated. It's not a necessary part of life. Necessary. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has an interesting comment. He says, number one, it's important for all the souls to exist. The purpose of this world is that each soul should come into existence. So the purpose of life is that every expression of the DNA, every expression of the image of God should be expressed. All the different you, me, everybody else, each one of us is an expression of the way things could be. So when we're finished expressing all the possibilities, then Mashiach will come. Then he says, he says, are you saying that if we had not sinned, we would not have come into this world? What do you mean? The Torah has many laws for death. So what would happen to those laws? If we never died, there would be no section about Yibum and about inheritance, levirate marriage. So he says, well, maybe these laws were written if there was death. As Rish Lakish says, why does it say that there was evening and there was night the sixth day? God said, look, if you accept the Torah, fine, but if not, I'll take you back to nothingness. Anyway, so it's an interesting question of whether there was supposed to be death or not. Was it originally meant to be? Let's get into that a little bit further. But on that page, Rish Lakish says in the Gemara Barazar, Bonachsi Tovel Avosin, we should be very grateful to our ancestors, because had the Il Malechatu, if they didn't sin with the golden calf, Lobanalala, we would never come to this world. So it's a very interesting idea that it's only because they sinned that we came into this world. Otherwise, there'd be no reproduction, and there'd be no children. So that's one view. But also part of the idea is that if there was no death, then you know what would our role be? If Moshe Rabbeinu was alive today, how am I going to get a job as a rabbi if the Rambam, Rashi, and Tosfot were all in the Vilna Gaon, were all living at the same time, and King David, right? How's Naftali Bennett going to be prime minister if King David was still alive? So part of the role of death is to clear the world so other people have a chance to take over. Like in this week's parsha, you have Aaron dies and his son Elazar takes over. But had he not died, there'd be no opportunity for that. Rashi and Breshis tell us something about another type of death. There was Chanoch. Chanoch is known in English as Enoch. And Chanoch walked with God. So he was a tzaddik, a righteous man, but his mind was easily induced to turn from his righteous way to become wicked. So Chanoch was a righteous man, but he could have gone the other way. So the Holy One, blessed be he, Kadosh Baruch Hu, took him away quickly. Right? God took him. He's not around anymore because God took him. Why did God take him? Because he wanted to take him quickly and make him die before his full time. In other words, if you stop the baseball game, if it rains out when the Mets are ahead 7-3, then they win. However, if you play the full game, they might lose. In the seventh inning, it gets rained out. That's great because they're already winning 7-3. But if you let the game go to the end, could be they'll lose. They'll get a few runs in the eighth and ninth. Similarly with early death, maybe somebody gets cut off at a good point and it doesn't allow them to get to a bad point. So I'm not saying that this is a general explanation of death, but there are deaths whose purpose is to end the game at a good point, to end on the high point, end the book at the good point. So in the case of Chanoch, God did him a favor. He ended his life on a high note. So it's also a purpose of death to cut us off the right point. Someone explained what the Rambam wrote in the Mor Nevuchim. He says like this. He says, God saw the world was very good. He says, the way the world is, it's good. Because there you need to have things that exist and don't exist, you have to have even death, bad things. It's all good. It all keeps the world going. You know, if you think about, you know, different plagues and things like that, You know, it does thin out the population, more, there are less people in the world to feed. You know, we hate to say these things, but it all has a purpose. I'm not saying I understand it or I can tell you the exact math for it, but in some way, even death and destruction, it's all part of life. And that's why Reb Meir said, Tov Mavet, that death is good. So someone explains this in an article online. He said, it's like this. If you look at the general harmony of the whole world, death fits in very well. It fits in with the whole picture. There's life, there's death, there's things that exist, things that are missing, things that shrivel. It's all part of necessary life. And the paradox is that Reb Meir says that even death itself, which you say is definitely evil, he says even that's good. Because if you look at it in the general sense of what it does for the world in general. So we may not understand it. We definitely don't understand it. As we said at the beginning, it's a mystery. But altogether, it turns out good. As one rabbi was explaining the Ramchal, couldn't find the exact citation in Derech Hashem, but he says, the more the world has missing, such as death, the more there's room for tikkun, for fixing. If there, death is like the ultimate broken thing in this world, so there's a lot of room for fixing. You have people. I'm a chaplain. I go, if somebody loses their son, their, God forbid, their brother, their mother, their father, and there's more room to, you know, bring comfort to people who have loss, try to make sense of the world after loss. The more there's missing, the more there's room for tikkun. You have people who make a tremendous life for themselves after they suffer tremendous loss. The more that's missing, the more there's room for fixing. Or the death is a tikkun. Why? Because by the fact that there's death, we have to be prepared. Prepared for what? Prepared to remove ourselves from our physical presence and to cling to God in the spiritual sense. So it forces us to be more spiritual, because one day we know we're not going to have this body anymore. So we're not going to be in the physical side. So if we just live it up with the body the whole time, and then when we get to the other world, we're not ready to cling to God. And then we get stuck. Maybe we don't go to heaven, or we don't have a pleasant next world because we didn't prepare. But death can be a preparation, can remind us, oh, death is coming. You better be prepared to cling. Okay. Now back to our parsha. And our parsha, and this I have in a video, separate video you can take a look at. I think it's just coming out in a day or so. Look what happens in our parsha after Miriam and Aaron die. So, well, there's a war and this, yeah, but there's a lot of good things that happen. The Jews start to repent. The Jews start to conquer. The Jews start to act as one. There's a lot to do with the death and the impending doom of Moshe, the death of Aaron, the death of Miriam. Sometimes when one generation clears out, it actually leaves more room for the next generation. I remember when my salvation was getting old, we were wondering, well, what's going to happen? We're pulling our hair out. If he dies, how are we going to function? You don't have every salvation. And then students of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein felt the same way. Without Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, how are we going to, who's going to answer the questions? Nobody's on his stature. And it turned out that the generation after them, although there's no Rabbi Salvation and there's no Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, but there are millions of, millions, but there are tens of people who are at a tremendous level who came in their footsteps. Who were students of theirs or followers of theirs or who, you know, followers of other rabbis. And it's when one clears out, the other comes in a magnificent way. Again, not always at the same level, but something magnificent does happen when after there's death. So if we look at all the different meanings we looked at tonight, we would summarize like this. Death gives a fresh start. That's why we just showed you that when Aaron died, it was a fresh start and the Jews began to repent. It atones for both for others, meaning when somebody, the survivors of the death, we benefit from the death of when our salvation died. The whole generation benefited because the death of the righteous atones. When Miriam died, everyone got atonement. It's just like the Paraduma. Why is the Paraduma, the red heifer, next to the death of Miriam? To say that just like the red heifer atones, so does the death of Miriam. it atones for others, and it atones for yourself. The person who dies, when he dies, that's his final punishment for some of the sins that he did. And it transforms, right? When you have contact with death, it transforms us. It makes us different. I'm not the same person as before I lost my father. It's a whole year of transformation, a shiva, a shloshim, a year of transformation of who I am, hopefully for the good. Population control, you know, it's not pleasant to think about that, but possible. It leads to tshuva after others. After others die, I want to repent. Before my own death, I want to repent. It makes us think. It helps us celebrate what was. Again, we don't believe in celebrating at the death, but at death, we can certainly mourn with and through our tears. We can say, you know, this person lives a nice life. Look at this person. He was such a good person. My father, also, nice man. Right? I know Charlie's father, what a fine person. So we can do that. We can say stuff like that because that's what death does. It was a chance to celebrate what was. It's also a chance to repent. By knowing that we're going to die, it gives us a chance to repent. Death itself is a time of pleasantness. That's how it's portrayed. And sometimes death can save us from getting worse. You know, sometimes if you're finally getting a little bit spiritual in your older days, and then like maybe you want to veer off the path, maybe God takes you at that moment and you end on a high note. It can work that way. And it makes us ready, want to be ready for clinging to God, which is the ultimate goal. The spiritual life we'll live afterwards, we want to be able to cling to God. So knowing that we have death means that we have to know that we're going to have to get spiritual. If we're always in our body, we'd say, let's keep focusing on the body because it's important. It's always going to be there. So we say, no, it's not always going to be there. That's only temporary. The life of the spirit is longer. So you better get in shape, not just physically, but spiritually as well. So that's our take on meaning of death, some interpretations from throughout the generations. There, of course, one could give multiple and infinite meanings of death, but here's some that I thought of, and some of which stem from our parsha this week, Parsha Chukah. All right, that concludes formal part of our discussion.